Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. Today, we're excited to share some simple and free tips that can boost your health and you can start to incorporate today. I know a lot of people are feeling overwhelmed right now with what they should do to stay healthy, to help their kids. So we really wanted you to pick one or two of these things that really resonate with you and start to incorporate them into your daily routine. So hopefully you'll enjoy this episode and leave with some tips you can start to use now. So tip number one is deep breathing. And I know we hear that a lot, but I have a really good visual and a simple practice that's easy to remember. You may have heard of it. It's called box breathing, or otherwise known as the 4-4-4-4 breath. And it's really simple to do. I'll go through how you do it and then we'll talk about the benefits. But for the 4-4-4-4 breath, it's what it sounds like. So you breathe in for four counts. And then you hold your breath for four counts. You exhale for four counts. And then you hold at the end of the exhale for four counts. You can picture it like a box. You go up the side of the box as you breathe in for four. As you go across the top of the box, you hold for four counts. Then you exhale as you go down the side of the box for four counts. And then hold as you go across the bottom of the box to start over again. And it's pretty amazing because even after practicing this for 1 to 2 minutes, you can really feel your state change. You can go from a state of frenetic energy, of feeling anxious and unfocused, to feel grounded and in the moment and calm. So it doesn't take very long. You can do it longer, of course, but even 1 to 2 minutes can be really beneficial. And I like to do this type of breathing when I'm in the shower, if I'm feeling a bit stressed or anxious, even when I'm transitioning from, you know, the work day to giving my attention to Stuart, or from, you know, dinner to bedtime, for example. You can do it while you're driving, of course, paying attention. But, you know, when you're at a stoplight or a stop sign, that's always a good time to practice some deep breathing, or even while you're walking. So simple and easy to incorporate. And we know that deep breathing really helps to reduce stress and anxiety, and it can help to lower blood pressure and our stress hormone cortisol that we've talked about so much that can wreak havoc on our hormones. So that's my breathing tip for well-being. Being and reducing stress. And I know, Toni, you come from a hypnobirthing background. You're actually an educator for that. And you wanted to share some calm breathing techniques as well, right?
Yeah. For hypnobirthing, there's a few different breathing techniques to support women through labor and birth. And I mean, the simplest one is the calm breath. It's a variation of the box breath, and it's just a breathing in, inhale to a count of four, a pause, and then an exhale, a longer exhale to a count of, aiming to a count of eight, sometimes even to a count of six, if the eight is too long. And, I've really found that I've stuck with using this calm breath, especially in times of stress. And one of those times of stress that can come up is putting Frankie to bed. So I find that when I'm putting Frankie to bed, I automatically like to use the calm breath so that I'm in a relaxed state. I'm reducing my anxiety and stress so that that's not being passed on to her, so that she can relax and she can fall asleep even more so. So, you know, just given that training, I've just kind of continued using that. And again, the box breath is another, you know, really great, easy tool to use as well. You know, also it's funny because lately I've even continued using a hypnobirthing relaxation track that I can listen to. Originally it was in the book Hypnobirthing by Marie Mongan. And now it's even, you know, available as a free download on the Hypnobirthing Institute website. So I'll put a link to that. Now it is designed to be used to prepare for birth. But I just kind of ignore the, like, I think she only mentions birth in the relaxation track. Like it's kind of a guided relaxation track. She only mentions birth maybe two or three times. So I just kind of leave that out, and it's just a great kind of progressive relaxation tool as well. You know, it's practicing the calm breath, practicing a deep breath. So that can be helpful as well.
That's great, Tony. Yeah. You're repurposing your hypnobirthing. And then I like the idea of practicing the deep breathing, yeah, as we're putting our kids down, because that can be a time of stress. I know Stuart gets fired up and I'm like, okay, just be calm, be patient, even though I want him to go to bed so I can have my own time. So I love that. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Time of day.
Yeah. Well, and again, like sleep is so important. And I definitely think of, you know, sleep is definitely like a number two. One of the, you know, number two, you know, of the free simple things that you can do to support your health is getting a good sleep. And I find it's, you know, I've talked about sleep before on different episodes. It's so crucial for me. I know that without getting at least 8 hours a day, you know, my mental and emotional health really suffers. And it's not that I can always get those 8 hours over the night, because I'm at, you know, at the mercy of Frankie's sleep. So sometimes I am getting up in the middle of the night with her. So if I'm not getting 8 hours of sleep over the night, I'm really making sure that I just put it in my schedule so that I am getting a morning or afternoon nap, and putting aside other things that could get done, like cleaning the house or, you know, all sorts of the different things we have to do around work, around the home, and even, you know, kind of leaving out, you know, getting back to on emails. It's just, I found it, that is such a high priority for me, for physical mental health. Again, we had a whole episode on sleep, so we'll definitely link to it in the show notes so you can go back to that episode and, you know, how important sleep is for your mental health, but also your physical health as well.
Mm-hmm, that can be something we let go, right? Like it's like, okay, forget sleep. I have to get this work done. And I've been listening to a really good sleep meditation where it says, just let yourself sleep. And sometimes we need to hear that, right? And really, like really hear it, because we know it's so good for us, but we usually prioritize other things. So you're so good at that, Tony, of prioritizing your sleep. I haven't been so good with that lately. And I think I'm starting to feel the benefits. So last night I was able to let myself sleep. And that's going to be a goal moving forward for sure.
Well, for sure. You have to give yourself permission to, because if you don't give yourself permission to sleep, then yeah, there are going to be other things that you could do. Definitely. For sure.
There's always more to do.
Always more to do. But I absolutely, you know, and I find that I have to give myself permission to sleep over and over again. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things that I have to remind myself. Another thing that I am reminding myself about is drinking enough water. So definitely I find that the best thing, you know, to really keep my hydration up is first thing in the morning, getting in a good, like big, large glass of water. You know, it's really kind of pushing almost getting in a liter of water in the first hour or so that I'm up. Now, while, again, thankfully, water's free, we have really great high-quality water in Calgary. Again, you can kind of add in a filter and lemon, which costs a little bit of money. But, you know, that is can make such a huge difference for me, for my energy, for keeping my migraines away. You know, I definitely mentioned that in our recent episode on migraines. It's really helpful for digestion, and hydration is key for having a good bowel movement too. So getting in that water can really help with regularity, and not even just squeezing the juice of the lemon, but also even having using a clean lemon and using the rind and having that soak in water. There's a component in the rind, it's an essential oil called D-limonene, and in the rind of all citrus, but and lemon as well, you know, it's a terpene that's actually been shown to have anti-inflammatory properties, antioxidant properties, and there has been research on it in animal studies where it's been shown to reduce triglycerides and your lousy LDL cholesterol, lowers blood sugar, lowers blood pressure. It's been shown in animals to protect against stomach ulcers and have anti-stress and anti-anxiety properties. So it's just a great thing, a lemon to add into that water, keeping hydrated and keeping healthy. Super simple thing to do.
Great tips. And it's so delicious to grate the rind of organic lemons or limes into salad dressings or on vegetable dishes. It just gives it such a nice fresh flavor, right? And then you get those extra benefits of the limonene. And I find for water, people are saying, I'm just in a different routine now. I'm at working from home. I'm not at my desk or office, like in their office building. So they forget to drink water. So a good tip is to just have a glass or bottle filled up in the morning, like fill up several and put them in the different rooms in your house. So when you're in your office, you have one there. When you're in the kitchen or if you're watching TV, you have one there. So that's a good tip. So you see it and you drink it. Yes, there's going to be more dishes, but the more hydrated you are, as Tony said, you get so many benefits for digestion. But also sometimes we confuse hunger for actual dehydration for hunger. So we need to drink water. We're not actually hungry, or if you're dehydrated, you can have headaches as well. So I like that tip to just have a bottle or glass everywhere. And when you go out for a walk or do your shopping, bring a bottle of water with you as well in a stainless steel or a glass container.
I love that. It justifies me having mugs and glasses all over the house.
I'm the same. Teacups, water glasses. Oh my gosh. I probably have like 3 or 4 a day.
Oh yeah.
And still continuing on the water theme. So yes, ingesting water is very good for us, but also using what's called hydrotherapy. So water to heal. And the simplest way to do this is by ending your shower in cold water. I know people are shuddering thinking of that thought. You can start with 10 seconds, 30 seconds. So you have your nice hot shower and you're loving it. And then you turn it to cold as much as you can tolerate. And you might have to do it in a gradual progression to a little bit cool for the first few times, making it colder and colder, but as cold as you can tolerate, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, building up to a minute. And it actually obviously makes it easier to get out of the shower, and you feel warm once you get out of the shower, but it gives you a good boost. So it boosts your alertness. You're definitely more awake. It changes your state. It can give you a boost in energy and mood, but then there's some other good benefits too. So you can notice your hair is shinier, your skin may have a better glow, and that cold water actually causes your blood vessels to constrict on the, you know, outside portions of your body. So you get more blood flow to your internal organs, which just helps with overall health. And then also when you are exposed to cold in general, it boosts the production of brown fat. And I know we think, oh, why do I want more fat? Well, white fat is the fat that has a bad rap, that deposits on our hips, around our waist. It's metabolically inert, so it doesn't really do much for us. But this brown fat, and actually a lot of babies are born with brown fat, it's very metabolically active and it produces heat. So it can help with your metabolism, helps with your body temperature too. So that cold exposure can increase the production of brown fat. So even turning your thermostat down at night can help with that too. And then a lot of people are using cold water therapy to reduce muscle soreness. So they might even do cold immersion baths with ice and can speed recovery post-workout. So it reduces your soreness. So it's a simple and easy, well, I guess maybe not so simple for some people. It's easy and, well, it's free, I guess. Let me rephrase that again. But I just do it every day. I love it. Like I just feel alert. I feel a boost. It really changes your state. So Tony, what do you think about ending your shower in cold?
I love hydrotherapy. Ending your shower with cold, definitely something that, you know, I love to do. Now, sometimes I'm not always doing it. Sometimes I kind of get out of that habit and get back into it. I remember reading years ago that there was a really small study done in Germany on men. A lot of research is done on men, where they took a group of men and over the year they had two different groups, one who ended their shower in cold, one who didn't. And the group who did end their shower in cold actually had fewer colds and flus over the cold and flu season. So, you know, again, it can be such a great boost for immunity. Sometimes, you know, when I'm actually waiting for my shower to warm up, I'll just have the cold water spray on my feet and get a little hydrotherapy that way. And definitely it's, you know, one of the things that I first think about if I'm feel like I'm starting to get sick, I'll do some wet warming socks when I go to bed. So just a thin pair of cotton socks that's damp with a thick pair of wool or cotton socks over top. Again, it doesn't feel like it's the most fun thing to do. It feels a little strange, but it's really so fantastic for circulation and immunity. And I feel like hydrotherapy is kind of getting a bit trendy now. I don't know if anyone else has heard of Wim Hof. He is a proponent of cold baths, cold ice baths and showers and breathing. And so he even has like a free class online, free mini class where he talks about how to do a bit of his Wim Hof method. So again, there's more and more research coming out on the benefits of doing these cold immersions. And a lot of athletes have definitely been getting on that cold immersion train to, again, reduce inflammation, reduce muscle soreness after their workouts or after their activities. So that's always, a nice boost when high-level athletes are doing that. There's something behind it too, and something that we can do as well.
I know. And I can't wait once the Scandinavian spas open again. There's one in Trombla where you actually cold plunge in a river and then go back into, you know, a hot tub or a sauna, and it just feels amazing, right? So there's a lot of hydrotherapy spas around Canada, and they originated in Europe. So it's been around for a long time. So there's definitely health benefits to it. And now we'll move on to health tip number 5. So it could be free because these might be lurking in your pantry or cupboard. But spices, dried spices, we often overlook or we're just not incorporating them on a daily basis. We just use them for special recipes, but they're so high in antioxidants. So they can help to prevent disease. They can support our digestion. They can help immunity. Some have antimicrobial properties to kill off bacteria and fungi. So it's a quick and easy win for your health. And it's just picking some of your favorites and adding them to your food on a regular basis. I really like to add in my chia pudding, I'll add cinnamon, I'll add a bit of nutmeg and ground ginger too. So cinnamon is really good because it helps to balance our blood sugar levels. So it can help prevent diabetes, reduce sugar cravings, and it can also help to reduce inflammation. So every day I add those, just a few dashes of each into my chia pudding. So that's part of my routine. And then in my salad dressings, I really like to add different spices. So I might add some oregano, for example, and we use a lot of oregano for antibacterial properties, especially in the oil, but you still get some of that benefit in the dried herb as well. Oregano actually can help prevent against DNA and cell damage. So really protects our body against toxins and aging, etc. And it has a lot of good nutrients too. There's actually some calcium in oregano, a bit of fiber, vitamin K, a little bit of iron, and it does help to reduce inflammation. So I'll just sprinkle some oregano in my homemade salad dressing or actually on my salad. So that's another way I get it in on a regular basis. And then one other way I really like to get it in is adding in ground turmeric. So if I'm having baba ganoush or hummus, I'll mix in a bit of turmeric into that. I'll put a little bit of black pepper in it just for some flavor. But the black pepper actually helps you absorb the curcumin in the turmeric more effectively. And turmeric's really great for pain and inflammation. You probably heard about it being used for arthritis, for example. But it can also be used for menstrual cramps to reduce pain and inflammation, and also to protect the brain and prevent against dementia. So those are some quick and easy wins. You can also add, obviously, you know, thyme, oregano to your pasta sauces, or dill too, if you make like a homemade coleslaw, for example, and then adding rosemary to different roasted vegetables, or even if you're grilling vegetables on the barbecue now. Add some good antioxidants, and especially if you're barbecuing, it just counteracts some of those negative compounds, which are called AGEs, advanced glycation end products, I believe. Just helps to counteract those potential carcinogenic compounds that are produced when we char or barbecue. So that's a good addition. Tony, what are some of your favorite spices and how do you get them in?
Yeah, I love adding rosemary to roasting sweet potatoes. That's definitely a favorite around my house. Something that Frankie will easily eat as well. And, you know, I was going through a phase of adding turmeric into my eggs when I was making omelets. And I got out of that. I need to get back into that. Otherwise, I'm a huge fan of garlic and ginger and use that a lot.
Totally. Those are great. Yeah, you could do the garlic powder, fresh garlic, so many great ways to get it in and have it with your partner. So you're not stinky in there. They're not.
Yeah, I appreciate when other people eat garlic too. So that gives me permission to eat more garlic.
My husband like roasts whole heads of garlic and he will spread it on bread. And whoa, he definitely exudes the smell, but I know it's really healthy for him. So I can get past that if I haven't eaten it.
That's awesome.
And keeping up with the food tips for your health. So tip number 6, and you've heard it so much, but it's so beneficial, is to eat more veggies. We want to aim for 5, 6, 7 different types of vegetables every day and aim for a rainbow of colors. And we, you know, we likely get stuck in a regular routine. You know, we eat the same kind of greens in our salad. We roast the same kind of vegetables, but you want to have a variety for all the different nutrients. So if you can try one new veggie a week and just find a recipe or a way to steam or cook it that makes it taste good, that can really help. You can add some spinach or greens into your smoothie. That's a quick win if you're having that for breakfast. A lot of people eat starches with their meals, not vegetable starches, but pasta, rice, and bread, and they're pretty nutrient empty. So another good way to get more vegetables in is to swap out those carbs for more carb type vegetables, including, you know, squash, sweet potato. You can make cauliflower rice, for example, spaghetti squash for pasta. So that's a great way to get in some more vegetables. So your meal is more nutrient dense. And we all know the benefits of vegetables, but they have done a lot of studies too. So obviously vegetables have a lot of fiber to help digestion, a lot of vitamins and minerals to help prevent disease. They are, you know, fairly high in water too, so it does help with hydration and skin. But looking at some of the studies, so a lot of studies have linked a higher fruit and vegetable intake to lower cardiovascular disease risk. And especially the green leafy vegetables like lettuce, spinach, Swiss chard, and mustard greens were most strongly associated with the decreased risk of cardiovascular disease. A lot of people don't get in a lot of leafy greens. So if you can get them in at least once or twice a day, that's going to really benefit your health. And then we've heard about the gas-promoting vegetables, the cruciferous vegetables, and we've talked about them before for hormone balance. But things such as broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, bok choy, and kale have been really shown to reduce cardiovascular disease. And then the citrus fruits as well, lemons, limes, grapefruit, although be careful with grapefruit and interactions with medications. So definitely getting in more vegetables is going to help prevent disease and boost your health overall. And of course, help your immunity and mood and hormone balance too. And even one study looked at vegetable and fruit intake over a 24-year period. This was from data from the Nurses Health Study, which was a huge study conducted. And those who were more likely to have lost weight ate a lot more berries, apples, pears, and cauliflower. But those people that ate more starchy vegetables like potatoes, corn, and peas, they had more weight gain, or it was linked to more weight gain. So when you are picking those vegetables, ideally you're focusing on a lot of the above ground vegetables. When you get to the vegetables in the ground, like root vegetables, squash, sweet potato, turnip, and parsnip are lower sugar, but they do have carbohydrates, which are converted to sugar too. So you don't want to have too much of those, but focus on the above ground vegetables as much as possible. And Tony, you talked about adding the turmeric to eggs, but yeah, you can make scrambled eggs by blending up or putting it in a food processor, some eggs and spinach, blending it up and then sauteing that. So I know Stuart used to like that a lot. I haven't made it for a while, but green eggs are great to get in for breakfast too. So you'll get a serving of greens as well as your protein rich eggs. So Tony, anything else you want to add about veggies or tips to get it in?
Absolutely. You know, I've always been a big smoothie fan, and it took me years, but I've started adding in frozen spinach into my smoothie, and I really love it. It's a great way to get those leafy greens. Even if you don't like eating them, you can blend them in your smoothie and drink them. So super easy.
Love it. Great tip. Easy, done.
Yes. Something else easy, you know, talking about food. Number 7 is exercise snacks. Dr. Lisa's favorite exercise snacks.
My favorite kind of snack.
And they're free. So, you know, my favorite exercise snacks, definitely walking. Especially outside, which we'll talk more about, and also dancing. So, you know, it's great to walk around the house. Even actually, we have little exercise snacks. Frankie has exercise snacks by running in a loop around the kitchen and dining room and hallway. We have a little loop that she just goes round and round and round, and sometimes I join her. So again, that's a great little exercise snack, a way to kind of get our blood pumping and our heart rates going. And another really nice way of doing an exercise snack that I found is having a little dance party. I find it's really great to switch my mindset, switch my mental emotional state. So, you know, right now we have some favorite songs that we play on YouTube. Again, just easy, free. You can do it anytime. It doesn't matter what the weather is like outside. Just like put on the tunes in the living room and just get dancing.
Amazing. Yeah, with that music too, it can really change your state. And I love, yeah, doing laps in the house. Some people are, you know, going up and down the stairs, whether they're running or walking. So that can add some extra steps into your day, because so many people are sitting for long periods of time now. So even setting a timer to go off every hour, hour and a half when you're sitting at your desk, and get up and do 1 to 2 minutes of push-ups or lunges or squats or dancing, whatever it is, just to get some strength and movement into your day. And it doesn't have to be that 30 or 60 minutes. So hopefully you'll be able to fit some of these exercise snacks into your day. And tip number 8. So it can be a little more challenging now, but it is possible. So connecting to nature is really key for our health. And I'm sure we've all had the experience of going into a forest. It's actually called forest bathing, and I believe it originated in Japan, but where that sense of calmness seeps in when you get into the forest, you get surrounded by trees and nature, you're hearing the sounds, you're smelling nature smells, you can feel the breeze on your skin. So it connects you to something bigger than yourself. And there's been so many studies now, and there's more books being published on the nature cure, but even Harvard talks about the benefits of getting outside to help lower blood pressure, stress hormones, to help boost mood, and possibly even memory. And if you can't always get outside, you can listen to calming nature sounds. They've actually studied that too for benefit, and it helps to, when you're listening to nature sounds, it helps to lower the activity in the brain that's related to rumination or negative thinking. So if you listen to the nature sounds, it actually draws you out of your negative centers of your brain and induces a state of relaxation. Some studies are showing you don't need to get out that often, even 20 to 30 minutes, 2 to 3 times a week, you can experience benefit. So it doesn't have to be a huge amount. Or you can listen to those nature sounds as well. So even sitting in your backyard, opening up your window to hear the birds chirping in the morning while you're doing work, sitting on your porch, those can be really beneficial as well. Tony, how do you like to incorporate nature? Any more thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, even if you aren't able to get out or you don't have a great nature view from, you know, where you are right now, even looking at pictures of nature settings can reduce those stress hormones, can kind of, again, have that that mindset shift and that shift in your mental state as an emotional state as well. So that's simple. Thankfully, I'm, you know, what I do like to do is to get outside and even to go around our neighborhood park. There's some nice, lovely big trees. And actually I'm very thankful to have some nice big trees in my yard as well. And, you know, even just to walk around those trees and just, you know, observe those trees a little bit differently, like just really, you know, let everything else go, let all of my little problems go, and just kind of connecting and paying attention to the trees just can make such a difference. You know, I really feel just so much more connected to the earth. And again, like I said, all my problems seem, you know, really minute, in comparison to what is available in nature, and kind of thinking of being connected to the earth and everyone and everything in general as well. So
yeah, it's funny you bring that up, because we were actually at the park yesterday, and Stuart was just looking at all the trees, and he was looking at the different holes in the trees and wondering why they were there, why there were pieces of bark ripped off. You know, he wanted to touch the bark. So just that experience of connecting with nature and really observing it in a different way was a great way to boost our mood and just get our minds off of any negative things that were running through it. So that's such a great tip. And I love the idea, like you said, of looking at pictures of nature. So even making your screensaver on your computer a really nice nature scene, or a picture from one of the vacations that you know, enjoyed lying on the beach during, you could put a picture of that up. So it can make a really big difference for your mental state.
Absolutely. And actually, I'll have to find and link in our show notes to an article. I believe it's in Sweden. I might be wrong about that, but they're at, or Norway, or even Iceland, one of those countries in Europe, where they're actually recommending that people hug trees.
Love it.
And it's funny because, yeah, I mean, being at in our neighborhood park, you know, again, the playground's closed right now. But, you know, we'll put Frankie up in one of the trees, and she's actually started to hug and kiss the trees. So again, that's just another way of connecting in a different way. So
that's adorable. And I always think of, like, we can dissipate those EMRs, like electromagnetic radiation, or any kind of energy we don't want in our body, by touching a tree and grounding ourselves with that. So I do like to do that often. You know, if there's people around, I'll touch the tree and look like I'm stretching my calf or something, just so it doesn't look too weird. But hey, go ahead, hug the tree. Who cares? Get some weird looks, you know, or some laughs. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause a stir, Lisa. Just go ahead and just hug the tree.
Totally. Well, doctors are writing prescriptions, right? And for getting out in nature and potentially maybe hugging a tree too. But it has been a part of what doctors are recommending for patients with mental health issues and stress issues too. So, you know, get out into nature 10 minutes a day or whatever that may look like for that patient. So it's becoming a real prescription.
Absolutely. Yeah. And another easy tip that kind of for me fits with kind of nature, number 9 is to look at practicing gratitude. Because when I'm out in nature, when I'm out in the neighborhood park, it's not hard for me to feel grateful and thankful to be able to do that, to live in a place where I have a park, you know, 2 blocks away, with lovely big trees and a space that we can run around with Frankie. So that really has been shown again to really shift our nervous system, to decrease stress and anxiety, to increase positive feelings of gratitude and things that you're grateful for. It actually has also, there's suggestions that it helps to promote your immune system and your cardiovascular health as well. So a lot of great benefits to that. And again, it may be that you're just, you know, grateful for really simple things. Your family. I mean, I'm grateful to have spent, you know, the past couple months with my partner, Davin, with my daughter, Frankie, to be able to spend time with them, but also to, you know, get those hugs in because, you know, one of my love languages is physical touch. So getting hugs in when I can is great. You know, other things I'm grateful for, the summer like weather that we're having right now, which is wonderful. And even being able to connect with other people in different ways. You know, I'm grateful for podcasts and so, you know, that's another way of just getting in some of this free information and free ways of really supporting my health and even, you know, changing the way that I think about things, shifting my mindset, shifting my emotional state. So I have a number of favorites that I might link to in the show notes too. How about you, Lisa? How do you find that you practice gratitude?
Yes, so I guess pre-COVID, I did do a daily gratitude journal, which I'll talk about. It's my mama must have, and I still do it. It's not as regular, but it really resets my mindset. But now if I'm not able to do that in the day, I'll actually practice gratitude when I'm in the shower. So I'll think to myself, okay, what am I grateful for? What's going to make today great? And what's really great that happened yesterday? And even when you're having a bad day, and yes, there's going to be bad days and it's going to seem really hard to find things to be grateful for, but I still try to find those simple things. Like I'm thankful for having hot running water. I'm thankful for having food in my fridge. I'm thankful for having shelter because not everybody has these things. So you can bring it down to the most basics in our life too. But other days you might be grateful for things that are drawing in a lot of abundance into your life. And I really like the saying, where attention goes, energy flows. So if we really focus on those things we have and all the abundance around us, that's really going to feed into our energy and our mood as well. But of course, we're going to have those days and moments when we're down and we need to sit with those negative emotions, talk about them, work through them, get support. But if we can have a practice once a day, even before bed, some people do it, or at the dinner table with their kids, that can just help to reset the tone or reframe what's going on. So I'll share my questions I usually ask myself in my gratitude journal that I used to do. But yeah, right now I'm grateful for a lot of the healthy food in my fridge. Sometimes even just my cup of tea, enjoying it warm or hot in the day can be a really big thing to be grateful for too. As a mom, I know a hot tea or coffee can be amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah. Again, it can be really simple. It doesn't have to be any big thing. Something, yeah, being in the shower or when you're out on a walk or even just when you're spending time with your family, just thinking of and switching things to gratitude can make a big difference. Another big difference, tip number 10 is to be a part of a community. And sometimes it's not so simple. During a pandemic, maybe feeling like you're part of a community isn't a really easy thing to do. And it's still possible. You just have to look at doing it in a different way. You know, isolation and loneliness has really been shown to have a huge impact on our health. It's linked to lower immune system function. It's linked to increased risk for common killers, as even for women. You know, it increased your risk of heart disease, of stroke, of cancer, of Alzheimer's. And even suggestion that feeling isolation and loneliness has a bigger impact on our health than even something like smoking. So it's really, especially for women, you know, how we tend to deal with stress and challenges in our lives tends to be a little bit different than men. Generalizing, a lot of women, we really decrease our stress by tending and befriending. So being part of a community, reaching out, can be really fantastic for reducing stress and anxiety. And it's going to look different during the pandemic. So it may not be as simple as going out and volunteering, although there's still, I know in Calgary, there's different volunteer groups that are looking at different opportunities during the pandemic to take care of our neighbors, to take care of people who are elderly, people who are of a lower socioeconomic status who do need help, those who are homeless, those who are in shelters. So there are those opportunities still. It just may look a little bit differently. Even, you know, one of the communities that I have enjoyed and have talked about before is Camp Hoo-Ha, a women's group. It's moved online. So there's that available. I've even, you know, jumped onto different book clubs that are online and even looked at playing with friends online. The other night, you know, Davin and I played Cards Against Humanity with friends in an online program. So it felt like we were connecting with them. Again, not in the same way that we would have done months ago by, you know, going over to each other's houses, but there are those opportunities to be able to do that, even in a time like the pandemic right now.
It's going to look, yeah, really different right now, but there's ways to navigate it. So those were some great tips, Tony. And there's even a lot of online groups such as, you know, Business Networking International, BNI, where people in different professions meet every week and support each other's businesses. You can even look at if you're part of a professional association, they might have a Facebook page or regular online meetups, for example. I've been really enjoying, there's a lot of great moms groups on Facebook, and social media. So like Moms TO Halo and Mamas & Co. So they have different events for moms, whether you're like, you know, stay-at-home mom, a business professional or entrepreneur. So you can really develop that sense of community and support each other and really, you know, open up to each other and share what's working, what's not working, what do you need. So those are some really great options too. And then even having a regular, you know, weekly or monthly online Zoom with some friends or family members, just kind of making it an automatic, like in your calendar, it happens every few weeks or every week, for example. But there's really great ways to start to build a community, even on, you know, eventbrite.ca or Meetup. With, depending on your interest, you could join people, you know, who want to bake together or who want to, you know, read a book together, like Toni's doing with her book club. So it really has a huge impact on our health. And we're actually looking at moving towards more of a community medicine model where there's group visits for people with specific concerns like diabetes, for example, because sharing in a group has a really important healing effect too. So really try to connect with others and become part of a community that you feel passionate about.
Yeah, that's awesome. So those are our 10 simple and free tips to really support your health that you can do and take on right now. So again, you know, if you're already doing some of them, awesome. If there's some that you're not doing, you know, pick one or two and take it on and see how that feels. You'll probably notice a huge difference in not very long of a time. So let's switch gears and let's talk about your super mom moment, Lisa.
Sure. Well, having Stuart home, I've had to become really creative with ways to keep him busy, right? And sometimes our knee-jerk or first reaction is, oh, I got to buy him something. I got to get some new toys. I got to, you know, get the newest thing. But I've been starting to look at, okay, what do we have in the house? I'm really trying to move towards minimalism. I'm really nowhere near there, but I'm trying to move towards it. So it's looking back at what I really enjoyed doing in my childhood and then looking at what we have in the house. So for example, I have some old medical equipment like a stethoscope and a blood pressure cuff that I don't use and, you know, a reflex hammer. So instead of buying Stuart plastic medical toys, I'm like, you know what? He can play with these. So I brought them up. He loves playing doctor. He gets some band-aids. He talks about what's wrong with each of his stuffed animals and we help them out and he really enjoys that. So that's one way. And then this might not be, maybe this is a mess up. It might turn into a mess up, but even some of the tools we have, like we might give him a hammer or a wrench and we supervise him obviously when he's playing with that outside, but we have some pieces of wood. We don't give him a nail obviously or a real screw or anything, but he has fun kind of banging and pretending to fix his wheels on his wagon, for example, with that. And then one other thing for arts and crafts, I remember doing those potato stamps for paint where you cut different shapes out of a piece of potato. So we did that one day and we stuck up the artwork in the front window. So I'm really trying to use what we have and be creative with that instead of, you know, purchase more things and add more clutter to our house that'll be tossed away within, you know, half a year to a year from now.
That's so awesome, Lisa. I totally forgot about those potato stamps.
I know. I love that growing up.
Me too. Okay. That's definitely something I'm going to take on with Frankie.
So, Toni, I know you're doing a great job, but can you dig deep and share a mama mess up if possible?
Why, yes. Yes, I can, Lisa, because just yesterday I really wasn't paying attention and I was playing with Frankie and I went to bend down to her as she was standing up from sitting down. So we smashed heads. It really wasn't great. Aww. It was total mess up. I think thankfully I was hurt more than she was. Just like the look on her face. And thankfully there wasn't a lot of crying. And also thankfully she really likes to take arnica pellets. So I always give her arnica to, again, kind of prevent bruising, to prevent inflammation whenever she has a bonk of her head. And unfortunately, yesterday it was my fault. So there you go.
But you had the good remedy for it. So that's actually a super mom moment. Because yeah, they jerk their head around so quick. Like when I'm reading stories, I can get bonked in the head. Mm-hmm. But so it's great. You have the arnica on hand and that's mm-hmm. going to, you know, obviously help her reduce the pain and not get bruised. So you're doing, it's still a super mom moment. There you go.
Oh, thanks. And actually really arnica really should be my mama must have for today. such a great thing to have on hand for kids, because they're always, you know, again, hitting their head or falling off of bikes or, you know, playground equipment. If you have some in your yard, or again, hopefully once the playgrounds open up, it's always great to have some arnica pellets on hand. And even an arnica cream or ointment is great to again, kind of rub on, and super safe for kids and adults of all ages too.
That's a great mama must have. Yeah. It should be in everyone's medicine cabinet for sure.
Absolutely. How about you, Lisa?
Well, I mentioned before my gratitude journal. So I know it sounds like practicing gratitude can be complicated. And we talked about doing it, you know, in your mind when you're in the shower, out for a walk. But I find real benefit from writing it down when I can. And I just use one of those like ringed first class lined notebooks that you can buy from the dollar store, from, you know, Staples. It's so simple. And I just have these regular topics or questions I ask myself that I just repeat every single day. So for example, I might start with, okay, what will make today great? And that could be one or two things. So it might be like, okay, getting my walk in today, or really being present with my family members, or just focusing on my breath. So that could be something that'll really make my day good. It doesn't have to be I go to a concert or whatever. But and then I also think about three amazing things that happened yesterday. So I can really pull out the good things that happened. So it might be like, oh, I had a really good workout, or oh, I really made a great meal that nourished myself and my family, for example. So it can be really simple. And then it can be, you don't have to do all of these topics, because at the very basic, you can just write down what you're grateful for, and you can have different categories like a person, an opportunity, for example. So you can think of a person in your life that you're grateful for, an opportunity that you have today, and that can really get you in a good state of mind as well. So it can be so simple, but I really like writing it down. It hasn't been as regular, but I still have my gratitude journal with me, and when I feel the need, I do it. I used to do it right after I dropped Stuart off at preschool and before I started my work day, but I've have to get it back into my routine because it really made a huge difference.
That's awesome. Yeah, a daily gratitude practice can make just such a huge difference. So thanks for sharing that, Lisa.
Oh, you're welcome.
And thanks everyone for joining us today. We really love that you're joining us and again, connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram. You can definitely check out our website, perimenopausalmamas.com, for all of the show notes of, you know, all everything that we've talked about today and all of our past episodes as well. We would love for you to subscribe and leave us a review and 5-star rating to let us know that you enjoyed this episode. And please tell your perimenopausal mama friends about us too.
Have a great week, everyone. Stay safe.
Take care.
Take care.